Greetings, I'm James Gillen. I'm your host on the BBS Radio Network, and this is As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got a few quick announcements I want to get away before we bring our guest on. It's going to be a great show tonight, but we've got the eSETI conference coming up July 4th weekend, and we have an incredible lineup of speakers. We've got Winston Srout, and he's part of the Commerce and Sovereign Movement. Amazing, just brilliant man. Itasha, she's Arcturian. She's a wisdom keeper, an Apache wisdom keeper. And she just has incredible connections with the Arcturians, and I've actually been with her and spent time with her, and ended up, you know, meeting her friends firsthand. So, pretty amazing woman. It's going to be incredible, but very strong Native American tradition, and very heart centered, but also very straightforward as far as what we need to do, you know, to turn things around here on this planet. We've got Randy Kramer, Captain K, and he's one of the Mars Super Soldiers, United States Marine Corps. And he has quite an interesting story, and we've had him on the show a few times as well. We've got Alexandra Metters, and she's the host of Galactic Connection coming to the show. We've got John Rappaport via Skype and with No More Fake News, and he's going to kind of give us an update on what's happening. There's so many different things he's covering, and I love his no-nonsense reporting where he just goes right to the heart of the matter and doesn't pull any punches. We've got Laura Legere, and she's an author and healer. We've got Michael Elijohn, and a lot of people have heard him. He's been around for quite a while, and he's a direct voice channel and Cock D and the host of Cosmic Connection. And we've got Rosemary Guiley, and she's also a paranormal researcher, extraterrestrial researcher, and she's done some pretty groundbreaking research on shadow people, the just a lot of the cryptology things that a lot of us are interested in. And myself, James Gillen, will also be speaking at the conference, and I'm going to bring a major update on, you know, what's happening on the planet, the Anunnaki return, and kind of who's who in the universe and where we're at, and talk about this amazing Palladian force that's here right now that's really stepping up the plate and getting things turned around. They're using a lot of different frequencies to get the planet, and you know, turned back around. And speaking of frequencies, I know a lot of people are really having a hard time with these frequencies coming in, and there's so many things happening. We've got HARP, we've got chemtrails, we've got the planet itself shifting into the next dimension, that she's moving in her ascension process. We've got solar flares. We've got galactic pulses coming in, like gamma ray pulses from different systems, and it's just like the Earth is basically under siege energetically, and so a lot of people are on this roller coaster right now. So don't beat yourself up if your, you know, body's reacting to all these energies, or you're feeling mood swings or emotional outbursts, or you're feeling buzzing and tingling and ringing in your ears and all that. That's all part of this process. So, you know, a lot of people are checking all the above on that. So we're all going through some major shifts and some major changes right now. And I've already seen the end result, and the good guys win, basically. They always do in the end. So, you know, hopefully these Cabal and these other people are going to figure it out and realize that, you know, they don't have karma coming. They've got truckma coming, you know, and it's all being accelerated and amplified. So there's no getting around universal law. You no matter how, if you think you're God or you think you're beyond it, you know, there's action, reaction, you know, as you sow, so shall you reap. And you cannot get away from that, you know, despite your belief system. It's a universal law. So whatever you've been putting out, you're going to reap, and it's going to come home swiftly. So we've got to, you know, let go of the old programs, forgive ourselves, and start directing our energies towards the awakened healing process, and really get on it, step up the plate, and get on with our soul purpose. And that being said, I want to bring on Nikki Gregg, who's having a profound experience in that direction. It's a little segue. And she's a professional stand-up paddle athlete. She's a fitness coach, business owner, traveler, outdoor adventurer, TV host, and writer. And she was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. And she began her journey west into the mountains when she discovered the great outdoors while in college and excelled in a variety of outdoor sports. After a near-fatal snowboarding accident, she moved to North Shore of Oahu, Hawaii, where she learned to surf and became a sought-after fitness trainer because of her cutting-edge training philosophies. In 2007, she discovered the then unheard of sport of stand-up paddling, or supping, you know, and became a leader and a pioneer in the sport of sup. And for 8 years, she has immersed herself in the growth of the sport and became a pioneer of stand-up paddling, as well as respected figure in the sport. She's considered to be the first lady of sup, queen of sup, and has earned Woman of the Year award on numerous occasions. Currently, her home base is Hood River, Oregon. However, she is usually found traveling around the world, working on different projects, her goal to inspire others to experience their full potential in life. And after a traumatic year in 2014, Nikki decided to take the winter off from her professional life. A series of negative events forced her to awaken spiritually and seek out answers as to why her life was being turned upside down. It was a lonely journey up until she stepped up and asked for help, which is exactly when she met James, myself, and spent, you know, some time here at Esetti. She's here to come forward and share her experiences and give some support for others who are waking up and going through the same journey. So without any further ado, I want to bring Nikki on the show. Nikki, are you with us?
Good evening. Hello.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, excited to get started talking about this. This is my first time actually speaking about this subject, period. So thought maybe why not just start on public radio.
Yeah, might as well. It's kind of interesting because we talked about this earlier, and I mean, you were heavily involved in kind of the material world and kind of social consciousness and, you know, more of the physical world, athletics and everything else. And you went through this huge awakening and a lot of processes and having to face things, you know, that you didn't like about yourself or things you had to let go, old wounds and traumas of the past and on. But, I mean, you had quite a horrendous journey there, but you came out the other side. And I think when we talked about that, I said it would be great for you to come on the air and talk about this journey that you went through to help others, because I know so many people that are in the mainstream that are in totally embroiled in social consciousness that are going through this shift and don't know what's going on. They don't know how to deal with it. And I thought it'd be great for you to come on and you know, tell them about your journey and let them know they're not alone and give them a little support in that area.
Yeah, the last few months have been really eye-opening and very challenging for me. And you know, this is really fresh for me. I mean, this is all new. And, you know, just spending a few weeks at the ranch hanging out with you was even more life-changing. But, you know, I feel like if there's people like me out there who wouldn't consider themselves very spiritual and go through something like I did, I mean, you feel really uncomfortable talking about it to anyone, all your friends, because, you know, they'll look at you like you're crazy and you've totally lost it. You don't really understand what's happening to you. And it's just, it's hard. It's physically and emotionally difficult to go through a spiritual awakening. And basically it started, last September. I'd been having a really tough year. I think it was a tough year for a lot of people, 2014. Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard. But for me, yeah, it's just, for some reason, things just went downhill. Like, I just lost all my joy. Everything that I loved to do in life, just all of a sudden, I didn't enjoy doing it anymore. I wasn't sure what was happening. So it was a tough year. I was injured. You know, I compete professionally at stand-up paddling, and I was injured, so I couldn't compete to my full potential. And, you know, I was like, I'm a fitness professional, and here I gained like 20 pounds because I just wasn't motivated. And I travel constantly, and I just got burned out on traveling. I didn't enjoy paddling anymore, and it was just, I was just super lost. So in September, a friend recommended I go see her psychic, which is something I've never done. Didn't really believe in that stuff or anything, but I was like, why not? I could use all the help I could get right now. So I went to this psychic in Hood River, and basically she told me a few things that were pretty mind-blowing, which I'll get to in a second. But, you know, what she did say is, you know, you really have to focus on your spirituality and developing compassion. Like, that's just, you know, her guides were telling her that I was just, that's the number one thing, is I need to focus on spirituality. And, you know, she really nailed it on a lot of items. But, you know, at the end of our conversation, she asked me about the health of my mother. And I hadn't brought up my mother at all or how she was doing. And I know she had been sick, you know, the year before, and I'd spent a couple of months with her, but I thought she'd gotten better. But I hadn't talked to my mom in a couple of months. And she, the psychic said, you know, you should call her. She's not going to be around much longer. And I'm like, okay, well, how much longer do you think she'll be around? She's like, I've never predicted anything like this, but she's going to pass away within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, I was obviously very shocked and bummed about that, but I went home immediately, called my mom and learned that she had lost 50 pounds. She was really ill, but, you know, my mom and dad didn't have any idea how sick she was. And that was really hard for me. I come from a very religious background. We can get into that in a little bit, but yeah. I was brought up as a Jehovah's Witness. So telling my parents I was at a psychic and she predicted that you're going to die in a couple of weeks, it couldn't happen. So that was very hard for me to like know that and talk to them. And they're, you know, hopeful. My mom's like, oh, can you recommend a protein shake so I can gain my weight back? And I'm just like, oh. you know, and then that month too, you know, not only did my mom actually die 3 weeks to the day I talked to the psychic, you know, I was on three different trips. One of them was an international trip, and all three of them were filming for a television show, and I was a mess, you know, and you know how it is. It's like,
yeah.
Traveling is difficult. I wasn't feeling well, but I had to, you know, put on my happy face for the show. So all that travel burned out. I lost a huge sponsorship contract that financially did me in. I was just, like I said, I was like 20 pounds overweight. I was injured. It's just, my car broke down. It's like everything just completely fell apart. And then 3 weeks later, my sister passed away unexpectedly. So it just, you know, in a nutshell, basically everything just fell apart completely. And I felt totally alone and like I didn't have anyone to talk to. And it was definitely lonely. And I was like getting physically ill. Like I was changing. Like, not only was I not sure what was happening, but my body was physically changing. Like, I couldn't eat the same things anymore. Like, I had to really step up my diet and eat better. You know, if I had like a glass of wine or two, I'd go puke it up. Like, I couldn't eat the same things. I just was getting sick, you know, this buzzing in my ear. I was tired all the time. I was not motivated, and all this stuff was going on. And I basically isolated myself for the entire winter just because I needed a break. You know, I was like burned out. And, so it's like, didn't see any of my friends really, didn't paddle, no going out, no guys, no traveling. And basically I just felt like I was in this time warp, where I didn't know what time it was, what day it was, who, where I am. I still feel like that, actually. The days yeah. kind of just seem to merge. And and it's basically like nothing that I used to care about meant, everything was meaningless to me. And I didn't know what was going on. So basically, the next step was seeking out some information. Uh-huh. You know, I didn't feel like I could talk to anyone about it. So, you know, I started looking at books and the internet, and a lot of the spiritual information I found was discouraged. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't, I knew there was more. So, you know, people are like Eckhart Tolle and Wayne Dyer and all that mm-hmm. stuff. They're all spiritual, and that's a good start, you know, but I felt like something was missing. Like, they're all like rainbows and unicorns and it's all good,
yeah.
but like, come on, there's negative stuff out there that happens too. And no one would address that. And I'm like, I want to know, like, there's something more. So basically the best thing I ever did, and this is a huge plug for Gaiam TV, but I signed up for Gaiam TV and started watching, like, I got rid of Netflix and I just watched like Gaiam TV, like for a couple hours a day. And I was watching this like films and stuff on spirituality, but, and I never thought I'd click on this section, but seeking truth. So like stuff about UFOs and whatnot. And I was led to, you know, David Wilcox series, which he's great. I think he does a great job at entertaining and bringing the outrageous information down to a more digestible level for people like me who are just learning this, you know, about UFOs and government cover-ups, et cetera. And then I was really intrigued with his information, and because it just started, you know, as outrageous as it sounded, it started to make sense. So I was like, well, this sounds crazy, but I'm going to keep pursuing this because it just seems like I'm onto something here. And then I was watching Regina Meredith's, her Open Mind show. I love her, by the way. She's great. And it was one of your episodes. And I saw you and instantly, and we've discussed this several times, but instantly I felt like I knew who you were. Like I literally was like, oh, there's James. And you and I both know I've never met you before. Even though you live in Trout Lake, just close by to Hood River, I know for a fact we've never met, but for some reason I knew who you were. And I felt really like everything you were saying just made sense. And I just was really drawn to what you had to say. So, you know, I pursued and I'm like, oh, he's just over in Trout Lake. So I actually called into one of your shows a couple weeks ago, or I forget when that was. Like I said, I don't know what day it is anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I called in your show and I've never called in to any radio show. And the one I call into, you played that snippet of the lion being that came over your phone one time. Uh-huh. And and then I came on right after that. So I was just like, okay, well, I'm in over my head here. But we got a chance to talk, and basically what it led to is me coming out there and getting you doing a clearing on me, which I would recommend to anyone. You can, you know, that's the way to get started. But basically, you know, that in a nutshell is what happened to me and how I got to this point.
Yeah, the clearing was interesting because I know when we do clearings with people, we start off by clearing any attachments, any unseen negative influences, and then we find out who their main teacher and guide is. And then we go into past lives and clear them first, and then go into ones that, and that's when it all starts making sense, is when you start looking at your past lives, you can see how they affect us in this lifetime. And also we have these wonderful connections that we're not aware of that during the process we reconnect into, you know, Palladian, Orion Council of Light, Arcturan, Andromedan connections, and where we've had actually lives and we still have, you know, relatives, you know, on these other levels. And so when people start connecting the dots and realize they're these vast beings, that they're not just a body and a personality, you know, it becomes totally life-changing. But I mean, even after that experience, it's like, okay, so you've had this experience and then now you have tools. And so now that you've had this experience, this awakening, now you have to walk it and walk your talk. And then you have to use certain tools to keep your energies clear, because there are unseen negative influences that would love to, you know, shut down that awakening healing process. And I know in India, they said the closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads. And it's a very accurate statement, because it is, the greater your light, the more you have to learn how to keep your fields clear. The more expanded your aura is, your fields are, you have to keep that area clear of any energies, any unseen negative influences. So a lot of people don't understand that, and they've been programmed, well, if I talk about the negative, if I focus off the negative, then I'm negative and it's in me. And then they do a big spiraling guilt trips and things like that. And it's there, you know, you don't give it a lot of power or whatever, but you do have to recognize it and you have to deal with it, and you have to clear it out, because if you don't, they can just wreak havoc in your life.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then with that, being on the ranch, the energies are so amplified there that you're going to get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you step on the property, you can feel it. You get amped up. You can feel all kinds of energies come in, and excuse me. And I think that was one of the most interesting things I learned, is how all these energies can affect you and how you can feel them, whether they're positive or negative. And they can, yeah, they can definitely take you down. And I think learning to, for myself, I know you helped me clear a lot of things, but learning to get the tools and the resources to take care of myself, you know, I have to be out on my own, is extremely important. And the confidence to be able to, you know, learn who your spirit guides are and call in whoever you need to take care of you, because, you know, on my own, I can't do it, but, you know, we're all protected, you know, we all have everyone looking out for us. And I think, you know, the negative beings or energies, they're, you know, they're small compared to all the positive out there. So it's you know, and being, getting rid of that fear was really important for me. Because at first you see and experience these things, and, you know, I'll admit I was freaked out from all my religious programming and upbringing, and, you know, it was freaky, and all this stuff started happening to me really fast when I was working with you. It was like accelerated crash course in spirituality. But as soon as I got over my fear, like, I just embraced it, you know, and I wasn't scared anymore. I mean, there's really nothing to be afraid of, is what I learned.
Yeah.
And so as soon as you can learn to get rid of those old programs and just embrace what reality is, which is what we aren't programmed to believe, but once you embrace it, the truth, you can really step forward with confidence.
Yeah. Well, you had a little crash course there just recently. I know you had a little poltergeist activity, and we looked at that, and you're in Tahoe now, and there was a, we won't say where it is, but you had a little activity in the basement, and then I guess they came up into your room and threw some stools around and and things, which was funny, because you can totally freak out on that, like they do in the movies, and go, oh my God, you know, and then they got you, you know, when you do that. But you can just laugh at it and say, okay, what do you need? You know, what do you need? And find out who it is, and have a talk with them, and then call the higher beings to come take them off, and which you did, you know. So you did that very masterful, and helped this entity cross over and cleared your space and stood in your own self-authority.
Yeah, I think coming, you know, not from a place of fear or anger, but a place of love really helps. You know, now I can, you know, after everything that happened to me at the ranch, this little poltergeist activity or whatever it was, it was like laughable to me, because I'm like, well, nothing can scare me now. I've seen it all. Like, but yeah, I basically, you know, woke up one morning, like I'd heard all this stuff happening all night, bumps in the night, whatever. And I woke up, the stools were thrown, and, you know, I did the sage, and then heard a bunch of crashing in the basement, and a bunch of other stuff was happening. And then I asked you about it, and you had figured out that it's a young Native American boy who had been killed. His parents had been killed, and he didn't realize he was dead, and he was, you know, angry at the white people. So basically, I approached the clearing with love, and I think that's very important. And I basically just, you know, hey, here to help, and I did, went ahead and did the clearing, and it felt really, it's pretty intense when you do a clearing and you can feel it and see it and all that. But I think it worked, because the energy is a lot clearer here. And if you come with the right attitude, positive attitude, and with love, I think you're going to have a lot more help and success.
Yeah. Love's the channel. You know, we can channel the full power of the source itself, the love of God or source, whatever you want to call it, through us. We have that capability, but we've been pounded down and realizing, thinking love is weak and love is not the way to go. We have to use power and force and things like that. But love's the ultimate force. It's the ultimate power in the universe. It's the manifesting force behind all creation and the cosmic glue that holds everything together. And so when we heal our wounds and traumas and blocks and wrong conclusions around that and allow that force to come through us, it's amazing how fast things clear and heal, and your whole life turns around.
Yeah, I you know, in the process here, especially the last few weeks, I've just been letting go of a lot of baggage. You know, and I just laughing, crying, processing, sleeping. But man, when you open your heart up and you're out of that guilt, shame, fear, hate program, I mean, man, you just feel so much better. I feel like the spiritual awakening process for me was kind of like going through the grieving process. You know, it's like you're dying to your old self, you're dying to your ego. And I, you know, you go through the denial, the anger, the depression, the acceptance, the fear, you know, all that stuff. And I just, you know, for other people out there who we don't come here with the tools or a manual to help us, you know, and I just feel like thank God for people like you and others that are trying to help and make people aware of this awakening process, because I think in the next few years, it's like, put on your seatbelt, because it's going to happen, you know, it's going to happen to people everywhere who aren't expecting it, who you wouldn't think, you know, and I think people need the tools. And the first thing they need to do is just ask for help, whether it's just, you know, to the higher powers or to someone they trust. But So.
Yeah, the earth's ascending, you know, the ascension's on. I always say resistance is futile because there's nothing we can do about it. The forces that are coming in are beyond imagination. They're like fully realized God beings stepping up to the plate now. And we've got these massive fifth dimensional Pleiadian flotillas coming in, and the Orion Counts of Light and the Andromedans and all these other beings are focusing their energy and adding their consciousness to the biosphere, you might say, the earth itself. So it's like, there's no stopping this. I mean, it's so huge that we have to get back into alignment with universal law and start living a spiritual life close to nature, you know, like start being kind to each other and the planet. It's really that simple. We can't keep doing what we're doing because obviously it's not working and it can't continue and it's unsustainable.
Yeah, I definitely had a connection with the Pleiadians while I was there. You know, obviously did a few sky watches.
Yeah.
And, you know, like over the ranch, it's like the I-5 through Los Angeles at night. So many ships going by. And one night we were out there, you said, you know, the Pleiadian ship's going to come by in like 20 minutes. And lo and behold, it came by, it was bright, it was low. And like from what you said, they sent me like a transmission or whatever you called it. But right after it flew over, I just had this like overwhelming, like, I just started bawling. I just had this like, they did something where it was just like, I really connected with them and, you know, their that love and just felt, it just made me so happy. But it also, you know, I think, you know, past life off planet, past life, I really connected with that. Cause I guess, you know, I was on a ship in a past life.
Yeah.
So I really, you know, it's not like I remember it, but I feel like you feel it, you know, it's not like I can see my past life or I remember the details, but I feel that connection and it was so intense. And I get like teary eyed just thinking about that feeling.
Yeah. They pulse you when they come over. People go, I want to see a ship. I want to see a ship. And I said, you know, it's so much better to feel a ship because seeing a ship is no big deal. You know, it's like, yeah, they're out there. They're everywhere, you know. But when you connect with them, and especially on a spiritual level, when you tune into that ship and you connect with them, I mean, your life is going to be changed, you know, dramatically just because of the exchange of energy that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that energy was extremely intense. And I'm very impatient and I kept asking for more and more and more. Like, I want to like have total contact. I want to meet these guys, you know, and basically I was getting hammered. Like, they're really pushing me with the energies and all this ascension and vibrational lifting, et cetera, with my awakening. But, you know, I want more. I'm like, let's do this. But yet it's like you say, you know, when you ask for it, you want the contact, but once it happens, you're like, you run for the hills.
Yeah.
But I think I'm ready. So I'm just putting it out there.
We will see.
if I had an ET walk up to me, I'd be totally okay with it.
Yeah, the thing is that we have to heal our stuff. We have to go through our wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions and past experience because it affects our frequencies. And these beings are extremely high frequency beings. They're fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional beings that we're connecting with here. And so we have to rise to the occasion, one, because we really couldn't stand in their presence for very long because it would bring all of our stuff up and probably kill us, you know. But it'd be so overwhelming to have all your stuff come up at once is pretty rough. But two, you know, it's like it's hard for them to be around us when we're carrying all these energies of fear and guilt and unworthiness and things like that. So we've got to drop these old programs, you know, and clean up our own consciousness so we can, you know, be frequency specific, you might say, to them, and so we can hang out with them and they can take us on the ships, because most people could not handle the energies on the ships. You know, it's, I'm just being realistic. It's not easy to be in that frequency, you know, unless you're pretty clear, you know, and you've processed all your old childhood trauma and you're not running these, you know. There's so many programs over there. People, you know, are saying, you know, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim, I'm a whatever, you know, and those are all boxes. They're all sandboxes. You know, and you have to go, okay, well, what about everything outside your box? You know, who created that? You know, and that's God too, because God's omnipresent, the Creator's omnipresent with it all creation. So it's, you have to go through this whole program and drop all the boxes and all the programs. You know, even these yoga teachers I ran into, they kind of like smugly go, well, what do UFOs have to do with yoga or spirit? You know, it has nothing to do with that. And I go, well, have you ever read the Vedic scriptures? You know, it has everything to do with it. The Vimanas, you know, the gods, they had their ships, and they had physical ships, you know, energy ships, light ships, you know, ships that are pure consciousness and Merkabahs, and it's all in there. But it's not just about twisting yourself into a pretzel. There's so much more to it. And a lot of these really advanced teachers that have come up here, they said, you know what, I've studied everything. I've studied all the Eastern thought. I've studied all this stuff, and everything goes back to the stars. They realize that everything goes back to the stars. Our history, you know, our everything, you know, it goes back to the stars. It's amazing. And once you realize that is when you really start waking up and seeing the big picture.
Yeah, I think it's hard to really clean up your messes, especially when people are so programmed negatively, you know, with fear and guilt and shame. You know, especially, you know, I know I have a lot of work to do. I grew up, you know, in a really mind controlled family and religion, uh-huh, and like Jehovah's Witness. And, sure. You know, learning, you know, since I was born that, well, now I learned Jehovah's like a evil God, from what you explained to me. Maybe you could go into a little bit of that, but
he's an ET, basically. They were, you know, ETs, and even in the Bible, it talks about encounters that people don't understand. They talk about a shiny disc coming out of the firmament, and it lands, and it has bronze feet like calves, and fire and brimstone coming out from underneath it. It sounds like 1,000 rushing rivers, and out of it come wheel within wheels and with flashing lights all around them. That's an encounter. That's a ship. And in Ezekiel, they talk about one, but that's a bad encounter because the entity on that ship stepped out and they referred to him as God, you know, and he ordered six of his men with their shattering weapons to destroy all the men, women, and children of Israel. How can six men destroy an entire city unless they had some pretty nasty weapons? We're not talking about bows and arrows and spears. You know, we're talking about something else. And then he ordered one of the men to reach into the bowels of the cherubim dressed in all white linen and to spread hot coals about the city. And henceforth, anybody who comes there will die a hideous death for the next 100 years. Their hair and fingernails will fall out and there'll be food for the raven and the beast. Well, I mean, this is biblical, you know, but if you look at it with today's understanding, you go, wow, all white linen suit, a white suit, that was probably a radioactive garment. The hot coals are probably radioactive material. And when they spread around the city, that means that basically whoever comes there, because it's going to be so radioactive, is going to die. Their hair and fingernails will fall out, which is what happens when you're exposed to radiation, and it lasts for 100 years. and so or more, you know. So it's very obvious when you read about this, and that actually was, you know, Jehovah. And a lot of people can get really angry at me. You know, I'm not here to bash Jehovah Witnesses. I'm not here to bash anybody. I'm here to say, look, you're never going to connect with God if you think God's a tyrant. If you fear God, that fear is going to keep you from connecting to God. If you have guilt and unworthiness, those are very low frequency energies, and they're going to keep you from connecting to making your own personal God connection. So a lot of these teachings that we think are taking us closer to Christ are actually anti-Christ consciousness, which is to have a consciousness of pure love and joy and bliss and forgiveness and you know, all the things that were emulated by, you know, Yeshua ben Joseph and some of the other masters. So you know, we have to take a look at that and say, well, wait a second, you know, if God is all forgiving and all loving, as Jesus said, then who was this tyrant in the Old Testament, you know, that slayed village after village and bashed kids' heads out on rocks till their brains came out, and, you know, and just hideous genocidal acts? I mean, come on, you know, we got to take a look at this, you know, and say, well, wait a second, this isn't somebody I want to worship. You know, I'll go for the all loving, all forgiving guy. You know, I'll take responsibility for my creations, you know, the reactions to my actions and things like that, which I gain wisdom from experience. I'm not going to do a big guilt trip on myself for creating realities of which I gain wisdom, you know. But, you know, there's an old saying, you never really know what you want until you experience a lot of little what you don't wants, or you don't really know how to create responsibly until you create irresponsibly, you know, and that lesson comes back and kicks you in the butt. So, you know, it's all about gaining the wisdom from experience and forgiving yourself and moving on and you know, focusing on universal law and you know, making love and joy and peace and service, you know, and those aspects, you know, your foundation, you know, in your everyday life. And so, but you know, all the religions, there's universal threads in all the religions that hold true, and we need to focus on that and get away from these control programs, because they just don't work anymore. We've got to let go of the separation game. You know, and here's one basic premise on, and I'll get off my soapbox, you know, if God is omnipresent, then what are you dealing with other than God? What was everything made of other than God? I mean, the void, there was a void. Everything came out of the void. What was everything made of other than the source? What is not God? The creator is omnipresent in all creation. All creation came from the source. And so we need to start figuring this out quick and stop the separation game. You know, and there are parts of creation that may not be in our highest and best good that we can set boundaries with and stand in our own self-authority. But, you know, once we connect with the real source, you know, that pure love and joy and bliss, the ultimate power, you know, when we connect into that, these other things just seem to fall away. They have no more power. But we can't connect it until we let go of the fear and the guilt and the unworthiness and all the other garbage that we're taught.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, no disrespect to Jehovah's Witnesses or any other religions, but the fact that I was brought up in one, I have a lot of info on it, you know, and it was like, even though I knew as a kid that something wasn't right, and I really wasn't attracted to it. However, you know, I had to do what my parents wanted, and it just didn't seem right. And I always knew it. And it's like,
Yeah.
it was basically, hey, if you do exactly what we want in the religion, we'll love you. If you don't do what we want, we'll leave you. And it's
Yeah.
just basically you're living in fear. And, you know, they're doing the best they can, the people that are in the religion. And, you know, they really believe this. But it's really hard when this is ingrained every day, you
Yeah.
know, and they belong to this group. And if you don't believe what they believe, then you're going to be expelled from this group and have like nothing in their opinion. And even
Yeah.
now, you know, after I never really even believed in the religion, but letting go of it was really hard for me too. Like I literally just threw out my literature like a couple of months ago because I was hanging on to it because I felt like I was doing something wrong, like as guilty, disrespecting, like I'm going to go to hell. You know what I mean? And it's just like I still was holding on to that program. So it's like, how are people going to let go of this, of these beliefs that they hold on to so tightly, especially if I was having a hard time letting go and I didn't even believe it?
So. Well, it's such an ingrained program, and it goes so deep, and sometimes it goes into past lives, everything, you know, these programs, and we need to let go of these old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions, you know, around the source and what it really is. You know, luckily I had a preview, you know, I had a couple, I mean, you sound like you had a near death experience or two yourself, but
yeah.
But I got to go right to the source and hang out, and it was just pure golden light. Golden white light of pure consciousness and energy, and it was the most loving, joyous, blissful thing I'd ever experienced. There was no hate, there was no judgment there, there was no anger. Matter of fact, I had a total, complete reality check, you know, while being in that light and having a conversation with this source or whatever you want to call it, because I was a light being, but I had a greater light around me, and I was having a conversation with this source during this process, and I realized that people, the images that people have been given of God, you know, as a little old man with a beard or whatever, you know, it's not male, it's not female, it's just pure consciousness and energy, and it's just pure bliss. It's beyond all that, you know, and then there are different levels of manifestations of source, you know, and we're at one of the densest levels right now, which is being altered, but you know, it's there's so many different levels, and we're multidimensional beings existing on a vibrational continuum. And until we realize that, we're just going to be floundering down here as a body and a personality, doing what the TV tells us to do. You know, it's like, you know, you got to drink the right beer and drive the right car, and you get the bronze woman in a suit, you know, bathing suit. You know, that whole program is, you know, you got to have all the toys and everything else, you know, to be a success. And that's really the only way. I like what George Carlin said, or something about like the American dream. The only way you could buy it is, you know, you have to be asleep, you know, it's like, and it's true. You know, you have to be asleep to live the American dream, because it's really a nightmare when you really see the bigger picture.
Well, I have recently come from that world, you know, just not paying attention, just going along with trying to get all the toys, trying to win all the competitions, trying to beat everybody, trying to be the best. And it's just like, for me, dropping all that, it feels so good, but it's, you know, I can't ever go back to that life again. And for me, moving forward, I'm in limbo, you know, I know I'm on the right track, but what's next? You know, coming on this show and discussing the topic, you know, it's really me stepping out, you know, because, you know, talking to my friends about this, I could be like ridiculed and laughed at, and, you know, it's like career suicide. Yeah. Who knows? But I feel like there, like I said before, there have got to be other people out there like me who need the resources and the tools and to feel comfortable talking about this. Like, I want to go, my goal is to be able to go talk to my friends about this openly and not feel weird about it or it's taboo, you know?
I know.
It's just, it is what it is. It's real. Like, get over it. It's real.
You'd be surprised. I know when I used to feel that way. And now, you know, I figure, you know, I've been just coming out of the closet with all this stuff so intensely that I just gave up any need for acceptance and approval outside of myself a long time ago. And I actually had fun with it. And I like pushing people's buttons a little bit, you know, and tearing down their boxes and things like that. And I actually enjoy it. I'm in a position now where I actually have fun with it. And, you know, one time I was meditating and Babaji came to me and he said, "Don't water seedlings with a fire hose." You know, he said, you're just shining too much consciousness and energy on them. And I had to learn to kind of observe, you know. You can watch people and you can tell when they're listening and you can tell when they're not. When they're not, you just pull away, and what's funny, you pull away, then they come to you. It's quite an interesting little dance that you can do with this, you know, with this stuff. But I just have fun with it now, and I just, you know, what happens is you'll tell somebody something, And they go, oh, yeah, whatever, this is crazy or something. Then you see them a year later and you go, you know what you told me a year ago? Or that was so profound that blew my mind. And now I find out it's true, you know? So you can't be in any need for acceptance or approval or have any expectations or timelines, you know, when you're working with people, because it may not be their time and you might say something to them and it won't have an effect till a year later or 10 years later. You never know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And well, what I like about you and some of these other people out here teaching, it's just that you're so laid back and real, and there's no like hoopla and special outfits and you have to follow a certain group or you know what I mean? It's just you're just a laid back, you're funny, you're just a normal guy, and you've had these amazing experiences and you reach so many people. So that's kind of like I just would be put off by people that are just trying to get followers and like, you know, having, you know what I mean. But
Yeah, they
that's what I
wear
like.
all
It's
the
just,
robes and
yeah, for you, it's like just matter of fact, like this is it. Take it or leave it, you know? And I like that approach. You're just helping so many people just by being yourself.
it is important to be authentic. You know, I tell people, you know, first of all, I'm not your guru. You are. You know, I'm going to share some things with you and, you know, help you get more in touch with yourself. But at the same time, I tell people too is that if you follow me, you're lost, because everybody has their own unique soul purpose for being here. And we might have some common goals where we can work together, but really we're not all here to put on robes and sandals and be carpenters. You know, that's not really, and teach spiritual things. You know, we all have different programs and different unique purposes, and we need to get in touch with that. And I think it's so important right now is to be authentic and really own your crap. I mean, your spiritual journey is going to come when you're really totally authentic and you own your stuff. I mean, that's the most important thing right now. And what I'm seeing, people will, you know, spread all these aphorisms, you know, like all these things and say all the right words and do everything else, but inside them is just this boiling, seething, you know, emotions that want to come out, you know, and get cleared. And it's important right now to just, you know, there, it might be a lot of crying, it might be some anger, it might be some emotional outbursts, and you know, it's, but we've got to be authentic and own that, you know, and quit putting layers over it and ignoring it, because there's no getting away from it now. The energy is so strong now, we can't shove this under the rug anymore. And I know that's what you've been experiencing, a lot of that, that, you know, those things coming up and having to deal with them.
Yeah, you had to deal with them too, unfortunately,
Yeah.
when they were coming up. Yeah, it's I mean, it's really intense. It's no joke. Like the things I went through, the energies, the like I don't know. It was definitely very challenging, and but I had to go through that in order to come out the other side. And I could see like there were a few times when I wanted to run off the ranch screaming. You know, because it was like I was being pushed so much
Yeah.
by the energies, by all these changes I was going through, but you have to like endure it. You have to get through it, or else you won't, you know, get to where we need to be, you know, and you'll stay the same, you'll go back to your old programs, but
Yeah.
you have to face your fears, you have to face your demons and keep working at it.
And you know, the most important thing too is not get into project, you know, project and blame. And you will, by nature, people will go into that projection blame mode. And you know, there's a lot of people that are not very spiritually mature, and that's all they know how to do is project and blame and run those programs, which is sad. But ultimately, you know, it all comes down to us, and if we have a charge around something, if we're carrying a lot of judgment, or we need to force somebody else to act in a certain way so we're comfortable or whatever, it's our stuff, you know, and we need to own that. We need to be learned to be happy for no reason, you know, and find and hold that space, you know, where you master that loving detachment, you know, no matter what's happening around you. And I think that's the only way we're going to get through these changes.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I think a lot of what helped me get through this was, you know, I asked for help, you know, the higher beings, higher power, just ask,
yeah.
They'll come down and help you through this and give you some guidance and clarity. You know, meditating was a big one. Like, I never meditated before in my life, you know, to the last couple of months, and the meditation techniques you taught me, I mean, that was really profound, and I can't go a day without it. Like, I feel so disconnected if I don't meditate, you know, and just healing. That's the biggest one. Just deal with your crap, your fear and anger and old programs. And, you know, just, I think though that there needs to be some more information out there for beginners, you know, like spiritual awakening for dummies.
Exactly.
Like a book out there. So, you know, people can look at that. But, you know, places like I said, like Gaiam TV were great. And I'm so glad for resources like that and for you and for people who step out and help us get past all this stuff.
Yeah, it's quite interesting out there, because I know right now is that there is such a need for this, you know, for for getting out there and helping people and you know, tell people, you know, you're all right. You know, you're going through a ringer. There's stuff going on and but you know, the bottom line, it's not you, you know, it's not who you are. You know, you're this beautiful, loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God or goddess at the core of your being. And all the other stuff is just stuff, you know, and it's not who you are. And it's time to stop holding on to it so tightly and just let it go and make your own God connection and ask for them to help you. You know, there's all these other beings out there too that'll step in and help you release this stuff. But also too, learn the tools and techniques. Make sure who you're working with, you know, because there are shadow beings and other beings that'll come in and wreak havoc, you know. And I've seen people that fall into this spiritual narcissism, and they fall into these other programs that are, you know, they'll think they're totally enlightened or totally awake and things like that. And you know, a master will never say that. You know, we'll never say, you know, I'm totally awake, I'm totally enlightened and things like that, because, you know, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know, and the more you realize how vast this universe is and how many different dimensions there are to it. And it's just ongoing. And so, and you can learn from the bugs, you know, they'll teach you things as well. So it's like, you know, we just have to get over this program of these hierarchies and these other programs and start seeing the creator in all creation, including ourselves.
Well, it's really funny because I was hesitant to contact or reach out to anyone at first, because I think there are a lot of people out there that are not authentic and still have their egos intact and aren't aligned with the positive, so to speak, but are portraying themselves as such. And like you said, you've told me that, you know, these negative beings can come and work through these people and mislead others. I think people have to be really careful about the teachers they choose.
Yeah. And, you know, and the main thing, there's some basic clues in there. And one, are you worshiping them? Or are they empowering you to make your own personal connection with, you know, creator, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, you know? And are they inspiring you to go within? You know, are they creating a dependency? And we just have to really look at that. You know, what are they pushing you to step into your own power and use the tools, you know, and use the things? And that's what it all boils down to. Are they empowering you as an individual, or are they creating a dependency? And when you're worshiping these other people, where's your power? Your power is outside of yourself, you know. And all the masters say that, you know. Even Jesus said the temple's within, you know ye are gods, you know. You know, that is the bottom line, is that we were created in the same image of likeness of the source in consciousness. And we need to realize that one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse is within us. We just have to access it, you know. That being said, we're running out of time. I wonder if there's anything you want to leave the audience with, you know, as a final note.
Yeah. Well, basically, I'm excited to keep learning and keep on this journey and to take everything I learn and, you know, use stand-up paddling and in my platform to go and spread the word as much as I can. And I hope to reach as many people as possible, but I still feel like, you know, as many people that listen to your show are very well versed and knowledgeable on this topic, there might be some people out there that are new to this like me and are just looking for someone to talk to or some guidance or something. And, you know, if people want to just reach out to me or whatever, I'm here to listen, but just know that you're not crazy. A lot of people are going through the same thing. They just may not be talking about it. And I feel like there needs to be some support for each other instead of fear. So, you know, if anyone's out there, just hang in there, ask for help, you know, and try to heal. And I think that's all headed to we're all headed to a positive place, and just embrace it.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's been awesome having you come on. And I think you're a great inspiration for people that are just stepping out on the path to help them understand, you know, they aren't going nuts, that there is something going on. And I think that might be part of your niche in the very near future.
Maybe, but no, and thank you so much, James. You've changed my life completely. I can't thank you enough. And if anyone gets the chance to work with you or has worked with you, they'll be saying the same thing. So, I really appreciate what you're doing, not just for me, but for everybody else.
All right. And I don't know if you want people to contact you. Do you want to give out any contact information or be to keep in touch with you with a lot of your many journeys that you've been on?
Sure. Well, I'm on all the social media outlets, Nikki Gregg, NikkiGregg. So I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I also have a website, NikkiGregg.com, which I need to utilize a little bit more. But also email, if somebody just wants to shoot me an email, Nikki@NikkiGregg.com.
Great. All right. Hey, well, thanks so much for coming on the show. We're out of time, unfortunately. And so anyway, good luck on your journeys and hope they all, you know, end in love and joy and bliss and clear sailing.
Thanks.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
All right. We got to sign off tonight. Again, if you want to check out the July 4th conference, just go to the website. It's privateinvitationeseti.com. If you want to register, and the password is eseti2015. All right. Have a great one. We're going to go out and skywatch and see what's flying. Good night.